everyone, and thank you for joining us on another episode of Lit Publishing's podcast, Lit Radio. My name is Miro, and I will be your host for today's show. With me today is the author of Inside the Middle Kingdom, John Geldard. How are you today, John?
I'm good, thanks, Emma. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's our pleasure to have you, and John is joining us for the second time here on the podcast to talk about his new book, Inside the Middle Kingdom. But before we get into the details of the book itself, the first question I ask to any of our guests is, what inspired you to become an author?
Well, it's quite an interesting story in its own right, in that I never intended to be an author. And it came out of my own work in China, and I guess we can talk about that, because when I was in China to start with, and as I've spent more time there, I have to make notes. I find that very helpful in ensuring that I remember the conversations I have. And as I started making notes, people started to talk to me about not just their business world, their business life and their business world, but also some of their personal lives. And we just got chatting, and I started making notes. And then I thought, gosh, these are really interesting stories. These are stories that I hadn't heard before. And as I started to write things down, people, I expressed my interest in this. And people say, oh, well, if you're interested in my story, then maybe you're interested in talking to my mother, or maybe you're interested in talking to my friend. You know, they'd be interested in your writing and your interest in China. So what then happened was that after quite a number of people volunteering to speak to me about helping me understand China, I started to write them down. I started to write them down in an order. And then it just became, I guess, a bit of a habit. And then it seemed that there was an opportunity to share these stories, and then sharing them on other types of media became the inspiration for sharing them as a book.
Yes, and for our audience which are listening, John is the Executive Director of Market Development in Grant Thornton, so he's had a great opportunity to work within China for over 5 years now, and that is the inspiration for the book, as he has just mentioned to us. Now, I would like to focus a bit about the book as well, and refocus our conversation on China, which seems to be sort of remained an enigma to many people. You know, there's a lot of stories, whether they're from family, friends, visits and holidays. Why do you think that is? Why is China so mysterious?
I think really it's been a mixture of two things. One is that the Chinese themselves, for many, many years, indeed, throughout the history of all the dynasties, going back to the 1400s, has been closed, by and large closed, to the outside world. And they are, in a way, a victim of that closed position. They didn't go out into the world. And more recently, following the Cultural Revolution and following Deng Xiaoping, and also then now President Xi, there's a greater change in the attitude of the Chinese leadership towards going out into the world. But of course, the legacy of the experience of the rest of the world is that, well, we never really knew about China. That we only saw things in the newspapers, we read things in the newspapers, we saw things on TV. We heard very little as we grew up about Chinese history. We might have heard of China tea, and we might have heard of the old Silk Road. We might have heard stories of Marco Polo and the old dynasties of China, and then Mao Zedong. But it was very alien to us all. And I think that's why that residual element of concern has lain within many people for so long, because we didn't know. And when we don't know about something, we fear it. And when we fear something, maybe we push it away. So I think those are some of the reasons why it's been a bit of an enigma. History, and then also as China has opened up, people have no experience, and so they find it all a bit mysterious.
Yes, and you yourself have had a long career of working in China now. And what do you think is the most important factor when it comes to doing business there?
Oh, there's just one word, and that's guanxi, which is Chinese for relationships. It's all about relationships. And there's an even deeper word that I think is useful to reflect on, and that is the word trust. And you don't build trust in a day. You don't build trust on the phone. You don't build trust by one visit. You build trust with people and with individuals and with organizations that are made up of individuals, and you do that over time. So the most important thing about doing business in China is building trust. And you can only really do that by building sound, long-term relationships, and you can only do that by going there.
Yes, absolutely. Now, I would like to make a bit of a comparison, perhaps, with my next question, is that, in your opinion, what do you think is the biggest difference when it comes to attitudes in business between China and the West, considering what you've just told us when it comes to trust?
There's a significant difference in the attitude to business. The attitude in the West tends to be more transactional, particularly if we're dealing with our American colleagues. There's much more of a transactional approach to doing business in the West, whereas the Chinese will really look to understand the context in which the transaction is being undertaken. They'll look to understand the personality of the people involved as the transaction is being undertaken. So the fundamental difference, I guess, is the difference between a transactional approach and a relationship approach. And of course, then one has to layer on things like culture, history, language, and the complexities that come around those things. But at the end of the day, it comes down really to this thing about we're just very different. Nobody's right or nobody's wrong. It's just very different in terms of the way that business is transacted. And we have to learn from that and we have to accept it. But that's quite difficult. And the biggest difference, as I say, really is about transactional versus relationship.
Now, going on to the book, it is a collection of 50 personal stories. Do you perhaps have a favorite one, or maybe one that sticks out for you personally?
I think each one is individual and different. They span stories from a Taoist monastery abbot, who is also a bit of an entrepreneur, through to a lady who believed that the party was everything, that gave her everything, through to a lawyer and many other different people, academics and ex-politicians and the like. But I suppose if I had to pick one, I would pick the one that is about halfway through the book, and it's about the lady that believed in the party. And it's a little bit of an amusing story, but I'll recount it. And that is, I went to interview her in a Beijing coffee shop in the middle of, right in the center of Beijing. And actually it turned out to be not very far from where she now lives. And there's a long story about that, which people can read about in the book. But the most amusing thing to me, and that stuck out for me, was that when I spoke to her, she had her own bottle of water. She didn't want to buy anything, but she told me I should go and buy something because then we would be allowed to sit and discuss things because we'd bought something. And I went to buy my coffee, came back, and she had on the table, open in front of her, a book of music, sheet music, and she burst into song. She started singing quite loudly, and everybody in the coffee shop sort of started to move away from us. But she was such an engaging, lovely lady. I did suggest maybe she stopped singing and we could talk. But it was a wonderful story, because a wonderful experience, because she was genuinely, absolutely wanting to show me how strongly she felt about Chinese culture and how strongly supportive of the Chinese party she was. And she went on to tell me about being a young girl in the Red Guard and her experiences of traveling across China during the Cultural Revolution. A fascinating story, but it started with a song, which is something that will stick with me for many years.
I think that is a great way to make a statement, if anything, to burst into song. And actually, as we've just been talking about this particular story, I guess a question that really pops into my mind is, is there an aspect, perhaps, of Chinese culture that you really think defines it, or that really sticks out for you?
I think it is the first chapter of the book, which can be read online as well and on its opening page, and it's the wisdom of tea. And to me, tea, of course, we all think tea, we think China tea, but there is an underlying truth about drinking tea that has emerged to me. by experiencing a true, if you like, a tea guru, a tea master, prepare tea for me. And it's a wonderful aspect of Chinese culture, tea. And I've really found that by starting to understand a bit more about tea and about Chinese medicine and the way that tea is such an integral part of Chinese medicine, it's really opened up my mind and my my awareness of the depth of culture and history that sits in China through a very simple drink, the drink of tea.
Great, absolutely fascinating. And the last question I ask to any guest that comes on a podcast is, what are you currently reading?
Ah, well, I'm afraid I'm reading a Chinese book. I say I'm afraid because I'm a bit hooked on Chinese books, and I'm reading one that's called the translation is The Journey West, COG, and it's The Journey West is the story of it's a very long book. It's four huge books that have been translated very, very well by in fact a US professor, and the Journey West is really about the way that Buddhism actually came to China, and it's a story of a priest and his followers, and the story of the Monkey King, which Chinese listeners will know very much about the Monkey King, and
Wukong, a guy called
Age Rules. And it was very interesting. So all of these were very interesting, and the Monkey King is quite well known, I think, and sometimes known by Westerners as well. So that's what I'm reading at the moment.
Wow, that's very interesting, and it seems to be quite the heavy read, if anything, if it's four volumes.
Quite long, quite detailed, but a really engaging book, and I have to say I'm really enjoying it, and I've nearly finished it. And then I should be going on to read a book that came out quite recently called The Silk Road, which is also, I think, a bestseller, so I'm looking forward to reading that.
Great, fantastic. And with that, I would like to thank you very much for taking the time to join us today, John, and discuss the new book and China.
No problem. It's an absolute pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. And for those listening, if you would like to know more about Inside the Middle Kingdom, what we talked about today, and John's work, all relevant descriptions will be in the links below, where you can find out where you can purchase the book, read more about John's work there, and of course, learn more about Chinese culture. We look forward to seeing you next week on LID Radio.